Welcome to Where Wine Takes You, a wine podcast celebrating the stories and the people and the wines that make Paso Wine Country easily the most exciting wine region in California and easily one of the best wine regions on planet Earth. I am thrilled you're here. I'm thrilled I'm here. I'm your host, Adam Montiel. Well, WineFest is getting closer and closer and closer. We got TV star and chef Tyler Florence coming to Paso, coming to the party Friday, May 17th. WineFest, the grand tasting, is on Saturday, May 18th. Go to PasoWine.com, get any and all the info you need. Follow us along Insta at PasoWine, and we even got an at PasoWineFest account for you to follow along too. Hope to see you there. Paso Wine Fest weekend, the big grand tasting, Saturday, May 18th. We also are taking Paso Robles to France this summer. Let's go. Thanks to our friends at corkandcruise.com, we are boarding the beautiful Ama Cristina with Ama Waterways and embarking on a 7-night cruise down the Rhone River, starting where they call the stomach of France. Because you think Paris has got great food? Ooh, you ain't even been to Lyon yet. Incredible place. Go places like Avignon. We're going to be floating by. Oh, there's Saint-Joseph. Oh, there's Condrieu. It's insane. We're literally bringing Paso with us and the wine that was inspired by the places we're going to be traveling through. We've got Turtle Rock and Don Burns on this boat. Also, Kit Kuiper from Hawks Hill Ranch had a bottle of his Syrah last night with my man Beck. Shout out for bringing that to the Backyard Bottle Club. Also, we got Juan Mercado from Rise. You might know the name from his time with Realm. Going to be awesome. We'd love to have you on board with us. Go to corkandcruise.com to check out the itinerary and to secure your spot. When you do, use that promo code PASOWINE. All kinds of extras coming your way. Corkandcruise.com. And I can't wait to hang out with you in France, my friend. Okay, so we got a Travel Paso spotlight later, chatting with Steve Powers from Paso Robles Art in the Park. Going to tell you about this free event that is so cool. And so cultural, I might add, perusing art while strolling the square. Yes, please. So today is all about how awkward I can be fifth wheeling on this double date. We have two couples that work in the biz together. And, you know, I'm a real fan of this dynamic. It's fascinating. I'm also a romantic, so I love these stories and even a deeper partnership than one that also involves business as well, for better or worse, right? Also, I love folks pursuing their dream, whether you're an entrepreneur or not. Pursuing it with your partner by your side, I think, makes for a great story, and even more, begs some great questions. So we have two couples today, Shelly and Jimmy Zanoli. They have Zanoli Wines. They're in Tin City. Love this couple. Great folks. And now doing their own thing in Paso's Tin City. Also with Shelly and Jimmy, we got Gail and Curtis Haskell. Gail has a company called Alba Provisions, which does winery retail boxes, cheese plates, grazing tables. Yes, that's literally what they call them now. I know, grazing tables, right? And Curtis, he is the winemaker for Shale Oak. We will chat to both these couples about the ups and downs of being in the biz with your partner while we learn all about the brands here today. I show up with Georgie. We're in Tin City at the Zanoli Tasting Room, which looks more like your cool friend's living room than a conventional tasting room. Let's get right into it.
So give me that moonshine, we'll be fine. We pass on now till the job is done. Can't die in the trees, we'll simplify good company.
Cheers, friends. Here we are.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This is like, it's like a double date that I'm just kind of like tailing on, like fifth wheeling on. This is so cool. I'm excited to hang out. First of all, we are at Zanoli, like I mentioned, and Shelly, Jimmy, this place is awesome. This place looks fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. What I love about it, Shelly, is that there is no bar here. There is no bar. I mean, really, but there's no like long bar across to belly up to, per se. Right. Talk about the vibe in here.
Well, thank you. When I designed this spot, I'm not a type of girl that wants to belly up to a bar anyway in a tasting room. So I really wanted the vibe that you're in my living room, feeling comfortable. We have vinyl that you can just, you know, spin and just have a great time.
Yeah. I'm a fan, Jimmy, of reclaimed wood. I find myself like comforted by it. Talk about what you like about the vibe here.
Just to touch on my wife's point, it is most people sit down in their living room or kind of in that bar that's a separation between the living room and kitchen and just commiserate over wine and good times and family. And so it is a place to come, relax, and share experiences with each other.
The colors and the style in here. Is this all you, Shelly?
Yes. I wanted something timeless. I wanted something that's never going to go out of style. You know, when you're in Tin City, you have a lot of tin. So I wanted to bring in a lot of other textures, like this diamond wall and the wood, and kind of just carry it through. Yeah, so the yellow chairs, I wanted it to be kind of like a shag carpet, but the chairs are shag.
And then rad. It's
the
cool.
Pink, I wanted a rosé section to just be beautiful and elegant, really feminine. And then the table we're sitting at, I just wanted something a little bit more masculine.
Yeah, and so, something that can, you know, hold a group.
Yes.
You know, you got a little group here, 6-7 people that can all fit comfortably here. This is fun. And we're going to talk about your rosé because you have this beautiful bottle. And we're going to get to the wines here. Gail and Curtis Haskell. Good to see you guys. How have you been?
Hey, good
been
to
great.
See you.
Great to see you.
It's so Curtis Shale Oak, the winemaker. How are things going at what I like to call Wine Church over there?
Oh, Wine Church is doing great. Yeah, we're still out there praying to the wine gods and whatnot. And
have they been answered this year? Like, how has the weather treated you? Obviously, 23 was a unique harvest. I imagine certainly different than 22, which was its own ball of chaos. But how are things going on over there?
They're going great. I loved 23. I thought it was a fantastic year. The weather just seemed to work really, really well for us, which we deserved after the previous few years of fire and extreme heats and all of that. So yeah, I'm very happy with it. I'm loving the start of this year, and because it reminds me of last year a little bit, and I just hope it continues. We get a bit more rain, and then continue to a nice, mild summer.
Because it feels like for rain, a lot. We just got out of a lot of it, but last year was just like a barrage from January to March.
We've hit about half of what we got total last year so far. So a few more good storms, and we'll be really happy. But
now,
also, we're looking forward to the summer and to be outside, because that's, you know, one of the best parts of Shale Oak is hanging outside in the beautiful area out there.
So Shale Oak is off the 46 West Oakdale?
Oakdale Road.
And you go around, we call it Wine Church because it's just this beautiful architecture, stained glass windows. But you guys are LEED certified in the sense that you guys are collecting rainwater. You guys are doing a lot of sustainable things with the property in and of itself.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, you know, even like during the last rain and then what we just came through in the beginning of 23, literally thinking of you because I know you guys are collecting that rainwater. Mm-hmm. How has that been, especially in 23, but even this year?
It's been great. We have 500,000 gallons worth of storage, so that got us through this last year, and we'll be full all the way by the end of this year.
That's pretty cool.
And, you know, with last summer, we didn't even have to use a whole lot of water. You know, we try and use as little water as possible because we do like the, you know, the dry farm aspect. We're able to do that with the soils out there. So we use very little. So we're doing good in the water department right now.
Nice. Well, I think it's going to be fun to chat with two different couples who work with each other in the business and have for a long time. Gail, you also have your own company that does like provisions for wineries. Talk about what Alba does.
Alba is a cheese and charcuterie and other picnic provisions provider to multiple wineries in Paso mostly. So they purchase my items and they have them for sale in their winery, and cheese boxes, cheese plates, charcuterie boxes, platters, salads, olives, all the goodies.
So this is cool because if a winery doesn't have a full-on kitchen in the back or a person to staff and cut up cheese and this and that, you can just have these things delivered. And then when, say, like a Shelly and a Jimmy have customers come in, they want to pair some cheese and meat with their wines, boom, open the box,
and some, it's all yours. Some places have pre-order, so you can order it on their website. And then some have cases, refrigerated cases, that you can just walk in and grab it, or in the back on their menus, that kind of thing. So I'm in about 12 wineries right now, some on the east side, west side, Paso, Eberly, Rava.
Cool. Those are great ones.
Yeah. So if you just need a cheese box, you can just walk in there too and grab it.
What about, so you have a brick and mortar?
Nope.
Okay, so what if someone's coming here and like getting an Airbnb with some friends, they're coming to Paso, they're getting a vacation rental, and they want a crud ton of cheese and charcuterie for the crib?
Yeah, we can deliver, they can order whatever they want, platters, grazing tables, any type of cheese things.
What are the hot cheeses? What are the hot cheeses that are universal?
Oh,
they're not too funky? Because certain cheeses are
a couple.
They're like grapefruit, where you put them in a fruit salad and it messes up the whole fruit salad.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's like going to See's Candy and getting something with mint, and then the whole box tastes like mint.
Yeah.
What do you do with the cheeses?
So there's such extremes. I love this black truffle sheep's milk cheese called Moliterno al Tartufo, but it does not pair with wine. So I don't get to use it very often. But on some of the wine paired cheese plates, there are a couple that are just like phenomenal with the wine. And people call all the time to be like, okay, where can I get this cheese?
Really?
And actually, I refer them to Cured and Cultivated, has this amazing vending machine. And I'm like, I think they have it there. One is a black lemon Gouda, which is made with charcoal. And it is phenomenal with white wine. So like a Chenin, it would be so good with that.
And the cheese is black.
And the cheese is black. So it kind of looks like an eraser. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's weird. But it's
doesn't like make your teeth black, though.
No. I mean, it's good for you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's good for you.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And then there's a Cocos, which is coconut Gouda.
Ooh.
And so that's cow's milk and coconut cream. And that goes phenomenal with white wine. But then there's all the other good cheeses that pair with red that are just like the Goudas, the aged Gouda.
The aged Gouda.
Yeah, it's just I like love a home Gouda. Run every time.
Any kind of cheese that has those little calcium bites inside of it is like little nectars of goodness.
Yes.
I just love that. Let's go around and talk about our favorite cheese. Curtis, what is your favorite cheese?
Oh, man. Gooey brie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Triple.
Triple, you know, one that, like, when it gets room temperature, it kind of starts melting by itself.
Uh-huh.
And brie is so hard to pair with wines. It goes really good with bubbles.
Yes.
But it's one of those cheeses that you're like, screw it. I'm eating it with all the cheese or all the wine, you know.
I'm
like,
so curious, Gail, what's your favorite cheese?
Probably the aged Goudas.
The aged Goudas. Yeah.
I just love that crystallization as well, and a gooey one, too.
Shelley, what about you?
I love a good Roquefort.
Oh, yeah, it's old school. Yeah, Roquefort. So
when I worked at DiRamondo's, I think you guys came in and got some. Yes, I remember that.
Jimmy, what's your favorite cheese?
Yeah, for me, stinkier the better.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You go super funk,
I
huh?
I go super funk.
Wow.
Taleggio? Do you like Taleggio?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I love Manchego. I love that. What's that one cheese that it's a really fine, fancy cheese? It's in a can. You spray it out. No.
It was Whiz.
To each their own.
Right. Yeah, to each their own.
It has a place, something.
It was funny. I remember doing like an interview with Danica from Vivant like years and years ago, and I just surprised her with like cheeses that she would like. It was like little strips of Velveeta and just Ritz with easy cheese on it, and just like watching her try not to like dry heave, you know.
Yeah. I mean, nacho cheese sauce, like there's a place for it.
Oh my God, like there's something about the nacho cheese sauce that like comes from like a gas station or something that it's like, it's so good until
it's
the
so
next
not
day.
Real,
yeah, no, it's so not real.
Game.
Yeah, it's not even, yeah, right. So let's talk about the idea of working with your partner, because I feel like a long time ago, you chat with this couple or that couple. I feel there's a lot of couples who are, as Paso is growing and as people are doing their own thing and paving their own roads, like more and more people are working with their partners. Was this something, Gail, that you had wanted to do, planned to do, it falls into you guys working together? How does that work, and how does it work for you?
I've always been in the food industry, so I started in catering working for Trumpet Vine for a long time, and I always loved cheese. We always loved cheese whenever we would go San Francisco or wherever, we would find like the best cheese spot and drink wine and eat cheese. So that was it's always been very much a part of our relationship. There was an amazing cheese that I got from Vivant that was wrapped in birch or something, and it was like a soft, gooey cheese. And we had that, I think, for like our first Valentine's Day or something.
Oh, is that right?
The Rocky Creek Reserve?
Rush Creek Reserve. Mm-hmm. And so it's always been a part of our relationship, but I just finally, 2020 hit, typical story, and we had a child in 2019. And I was like, I just want to own my own business. I want to be in charge of my schedule. I love food. And so I got a job at a cheese shop at DiRamondo's. And so then I realized I love this. And we would love to own a cheese and wine shop or something similar. And
did COVID make it harder?
I don't know.
Or obviously because there's so many restrictions put on us being allowed to meet up and gather. But then also, it's at some point in that whole chaotic rigmarole, it was like, oh, if you have food, you can now serve your wine. Yeah. So like every place was like, oh, well, we have food. And like, how do we get food?
And also, like, people wanted something comforting.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was like the boom of the charcuterie thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like on Instagram and all these places were just like, charcuterie is where it's at, and making your own charcuterie. And so the cheese shop, when I was there, we were so busy all the time.
Yeah.
Because they wanted something like really yummy and to take home and feel good. So
it feels like we've graduated from charcuterie boards to grazing tables. Grazing tables are a thing now. Like, is there anything more opulent than, I mean, just in the term, like, they didn't even try and fake it. We're calling it a grazing table.
When I was at Trumpet Vine, Jenny was so creative in her names of stations, and I was like, we are not calling that a grazing table. We are not cows.
Yeah, right, yes.
We are not.
I remember you telling me it was called a grazing table. I'm like, you cannot.
Right, I know.
So
now they just really call it that.
Yes, it's like, now it's they don't all about the grazing station. I'm like, okay, we're all cows now.
Yeah, great, yeah. You've reduced us to bovine. Wonderful.
But if being a cow means you get cheese and charcuterie, I'm all for it.
Yeah. You know? I wonder if cows are offended at that. They're like, you're calling, literally, you're taking from us to make this stuff and then just calling it a grazing table.
In the cow.
I'm so excited. Jimmy, tell me, your story is interesting because I've obviously, your dad, Sherm, Bella Luna. How did you guys get into wine? You were doing Bella Luna wines for a long time. I'm sure you still have a lot to do with Bella Luna. You can let me know. But then Zanoli, your own brand, and we're doing our own thing now. So talk about that for a second.
So it is because of my family that I'm in this industry, and I'm very thankful for that. As of right now, I'm not with Bella Luna.
Oh, okay.
I'm focusing on this full-time right now. But yeah, if it wasn't for them, I don't know what I'd be doing.
Yeah.
Although my family has a long history of agriculture in the county, and we've been here for a long time, and it just seemed... like hindsight, it seems like it's the right path. So
a couple episodes ago, we met Cole Stilson, and a really cool young dude. And his story is really unique and exciting. And here's a guy who just, his mom loved Paso so much. And then when life's path brought them here because of different things, he is now a winemaker. And I was asking him, where did you cut your teeth? Who did you learn from? And it was you guys. It was Bella Luna, and it was the two of you and the whole crew over there.
Right. Yeah. Actually, a lot of people recently have started making their wine there. Nathan from Innate Wines, my wine started there. Cole started his wine brand there. And then another guy that was up north started his brand. And it was just a part of welcoming people to the community and teaching them and giving them kind of the jumpstart, head start that they needed to get to where they needed to be. I think that's encompasses the Paso Robles vibe very much, being neighborly and helpful and looking out for each other.
Yeah, we had Monica and Alex Villacana on Wine Industry Persons of the Year recently, and Monica was so like aptly put, there's so many cool stories. It's not even just about the winery that's there, but all the little like wineries that were birthed from there. And that story like happens so often where a winery will just start right near. How did you and Shelley, you have a comforting place where like it's familiar, the winery, your dad and Kevin, the whole scene there for a long time. But then it's okay, when do you know and realize in your hearts and your conversations with Shelley that okay, we're ready to go do this on our own?
It was a lot of late nights trying to rack our brains, this is something that we really should do. And when the opportunity for this location came up, it was a no-brainer. We had to take it.
Shelley, is it one of those things where you're like, I don't know? Or is it just like you were just like chomping at the bit when the first opportunity came up? Or how do you remember that time? It wasn't that long ago.
No, we just hit our year anniversary here in our tasting room.
Congrats.
Thank you. And I remember the moment we moved to Clavo House in Templeton off Main Street, and we had shared a space with him for almost a year. And then one July, Brian at Giannarda came up to me and asked if I would be interested. And I was like, wow, should I? Should I not? And then we signed a lease and we're like, holy moly.
Is it scary, huh?
It's a good scary though.
Yeah.
It's a really good scary.
Yeah, I feel like I just had one of those good scaries like late last year. You know,
absolutely. Absolutely. If you're not scared, you're not developing. You're not moving towards increasing your life. And
that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
I'm scared all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I take it, I run with it. And yeah, we're just so blessed to have the opportunity to have this space. Mike English was huge in us having this. And we made wine for the first time last year here, which was super fun. And then we just did our first bottling. So everything is just kind of just like, wow.
It's all your big firsts.
It is.
Here.
It's a lot of firsts, but more to come. So we're super excited.
So we have this footprint right here in the tasting room, which is where we're at. Mm-hmm. And like we said, it's really just kind of like walking into a living room. There's family pictures. There's setups. There's like nice places to lounge and chill. But right behind that blue door, that's your production facility.
We are lucky to have it all in one spot. There's a lot of times when I'm talking to guests that will get up and go walk back there and see what Jimmy's up to. Tell them the process of winemaking. We have a great experience that we came up with last year, the art and science of winemaking, to just really show them what's going on during harvest, get them in and get them foot stomping. We love to teach. That is something that we love to do.
I'll ask Jimmy in a second about the different kind of wines that you guys want to be known for and choose to make. But obviously, being in a place like this, is this like considered the row, right?
Yes.
So the original row. I mean, we're talking like Brian, Giornata.
This is the original.
Right next door. Yeah, the old recordings, right? That was right. Absolutely. Here, too. Was that what this used to be?
No. This was Terry Colton.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Because I knew when I pulled in here, I'm like, I know I've been here before. But so many people have made wine here, even before it was like a popular place to like actually visit. So what is that Tin City vibe that you are really excited about? And obviously, you must enjoy a lot of foot traffic because of it.
I love the community. We are all one big community. Our neighbors are awesome. Someone just picks up the phone, we're right there. I see forklifts being passed back and forth.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's just, the community is amazing here. And I didn't realize it until we moved in, how close everybody really gets.
Yeah. Is there a lot of people will come here, park their car for a while, and just walk around?
It's a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
You have about 30 different little brands here. You have a distillery. You have an ice cream shop. Another cheese shop is going to be open.
Breweries, cider, breweries, coffee. Cider. I mean, it's crazy.
And you also have restaurants to eat. It's a cool place to come.
Do you ever wonder when, this is the one thing I feel like, and I don't know if it's just in time or, but nightlife, I feel like everything closes early here. Now, for a long time in Paso Wine Country, that was the case. Back in the day when I first moved here, a winery closed at 5. But now there's places like maybe Tooth and Nail that will go a little later, or nightlife as far as music. Got up 20, 30 right. wineries downtown now that stay open a little later. But do you ever see in the future Tin City kind of creating more of a nightlife situation that would foster more restaurants and more of that scene?
I think so, but I'm not quite sure what the future is for Tin City. I know that Hubba does hold concerts.
That's great.
The brewery, Barrel House, they have
concert.
Everybody knows about their concerts.
Oh, sure.
I know La Predignis right here on the row, they have concerts in the summer months. So we all are trying to bring the nightlife in a little bit. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool vibe here. What sets, you know, with 30 maybe plus different brands in one little area, industrial, what do you want you and Jimmy's wine and Zanoli, how do you want that to be kind of apart? How do you set yourself apart and unique among all these brands here?
I think first our tasting room. We have a lounge vibe, and I don't see a whole lot of that. I see a lot of bars for people to belly up to. Our wines are very approachable. They're tend to be lower in alcohol, which is a huge one for us. Yeah, you know, Jimmy's style is definitely a little bit different. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun wine.
I like that. I think you're seeing more and more people. I mean, everyone knows Paso can achieve ripeness and make a big, huge wine. But Jimmy, talk about some of the portfolio. And like she talked about some of those lower alcohol wines that are really fun for you to get into.
So, you know, Paso was hot. So I love making white wines. I'm not a huge Rhone white guy. I'll drink them, but it's not my favorite. So more Mediterranean.
You don't like a little nice Roussan, Marsan blend, a little Viognier, no?
Well, sure, now and then.
Curtis, we got to turn them around, my man.
We'll work on it.
But yeah. Crisp, dry, Mediterranean-style white wines, so like the Chenin Blanc that we're drinking. But
so good.
A lot of the wines I do make, I've been accused of being a medium-bodied, structured winemaker, and that's fine. You know, that's the kind of wines that I like to drink. My wife doesn't know this, but my wines are kind of a love letter to her because these are the kind of wines that she likes to drink.
Oh, wow. And, that's the sweetest thing ever. Wow.
Well, thank you. We're talking about couples, right?
Right, yeah.
But it is. I mean, I like to have 3 or 4 glasses maybe when I'm drinking. Maybe I shouldn't admit that, but I did.
I think we're all probably fine with it.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know.
That's approved.
Everyone's listening, nodding their head right now. Yeah,
exactly. Like, come on. Here, use me as the excuse, guys.
Right. But, winemaker said it, honey.
Right. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
But those kind of medium-bodied, lower alcohol wines is what I can drink and sustain through a casual evening. So that's what I like to make.
Chenin Blanc's a fun one. Chenin Blanc is a grape that was planted here a lot more back in the day. We're talking maybe 30, 40 years ago. And a lot of it was pulled for maybe even Chardonnay, which now seems odd. But talk about this Chenin and why you like Chenin.
Again, just touching on the kind of Christmas crispness type of wine. this wine variety does have a long history in California of being planted early on. And I do like to honor the roots of winemaking as well. This vineyard is the Bailey Ranch Vineyard, grown and farmed by David Bailey. His mom planted Chenin Blanc here in 1973. And so in honor to his mom, he planted Chenin Blanc. And we are fortunate enough to get it all dry farmed, organic. And it's just a fun, casual drinking wine.
Is Chenin one of those grapes where, like, zen in the way where, like, old vine is, like, super cool?
Absolutely. I think...
Is all wine like that?
I think so.
All wine is
you
like
think
that.
So, Curtis?
I agree, yeah.
Yeah. The movement of a lot of the younger generation to keep those old vines going just based on their history and what they've gone through is important to them, and I also agree. I think, you know, the history in the past of viticulture in Paso Robles and California is really important.
Curtis, are old vines good? I've asked this before, but I love the different answers I get. Are old vines good because they're old? Or are they good are they old because they're good?
Probably both.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's hard to get a vineyard to get to that old vine status. It's for a vineyard to hit 40, 50 years old, it's not easy to do based off of just diseases the vineyard can get and then trends and styles. Like, I'm sure a lot of people regret pulling out a lot of the Chenin Blanc that was here because it would do really well right now. But 10 years ago, people are going to Chenin Blanc, but like, no, we're not doing that. But now Chenin Blanc is, people are making it really well. And I mean, this is a testament to it. This is a fantastic wine. And I would love to find some old vine Chenin Blanc right now. I would kill for that.
I know, right?
That'd be great. But it just isn't there. And that's the unfortunate side of vineyard ownership around here, particularly, I feel like.
Jimmy, give me the lowdown on the different wines we make. We make some of these medium alcohol, more restraint wines. But yep. What are all the wines we're doing?
I work with the major Rhone blend or Rhone grapes, Syrah, Grenache, Mourvèdre. I just brought on Cinsault this year, which I'm really excited.
Cool.
And so those make up the core of my wine, either single variety or blends.
Shelley, talk about this rosé. You have this rosé. It reminds me, I was telling Jimmy off the air, Brecken had an anniversary wine where they took their logo, made it real small and tiled it. And it almost looks like a designer bag. Like your rosé, it's beautiful, platinum, salmon, shiny, but like the bottle is like this clear but silk screened logo or like tile that looks like it's like a designer bag, like a Louis Vuitton bag or something. It's so dope.
I always say that we definitely have a lot of expensive tastes. So my husband, you know, God love him, rosé is not his favorite wine to make. So when I had the opportunity to design this bottle with our designer, I told him we need to go all out and make it beautiful. And he did. He did a fantastic job. It's actually gold. It's 24 karat. Wow. That's in the screen print. And now that it's so beautiful, he is forced to make rosé every year.
It's the only $240 bottle of rosé.
You know? So it actually was really the focus of our design in our tasting room. We have a lot of clean lines. In the front, you'll see some decals on our window. That's actually the rosé label. And we just have fun with it. And I was just talking to Gail about doing some things in the future. I do cut the glass and make them into either water glasses, cocktail glasses.
Ooh.
But I'm even thinking about doing some vases with Gail. So it's going to be fun. People are loving it.
Yeah, no, the bottle is beautiful. And it's when you get a bottle that's like really nice. I'm actually hosting a packaging panel just for like neighborhood Paso people to get all in and to talk about packaging. And I think that's really exciting. Talk about the rosé a little bit, how we made it. I know rosé for a wine that not a lot of people did 10 years ago. Now everyone's doing it. Just like the bubbly, now more people are doing bubbly, which is great. But rosé is not always the easiest wine to make.
Correct. It is not. And my style is direct to press, so I pick it intentionally to be made into rosé Picking it early.
And we're not doing a Saunier bleed.
Not doing a Saunier, no.
Right.
So it was intentional. And it's just a clean, simple, straightforward Grenache. It's got those kind of watermelon, strawberry characteristic to it that's great in the Paso heat that everyone seems to just drink up.
What do we charge for it, Shelley?
We charge $38 a bottle.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Curtis, let's talk about the wines of Shale Oak. What are we putting together? I think last time I talked to you, we were talking about your 100 pointer. What was that again? What was that?
That was our 2020 Syrah.
Syrah, baby. Yep. 2020. What's on the portfolio now? What are we doing at Shale Oak?
Well, we just released a Pinot Noir, and it's the first
time. What?
Yeah.
I love that. Cool.
I brought one for us to try.
Oh, fun. So we'll great. Get into that. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. But it's the first Pinot Noir I've ever made for Shale Oak. I was introduced to a gentleman who had just bought this vineyard up in Cayucas off of Santa Rita Road. And it was a vineyard that kind of had been abandoned a little bit, but we got there in July or so and looked at it and decided that it would do just fine. And the fruit out there, it took a long time to ripen, so it just hung on the vine for a long time, and it
what
just came off. This was 21.
Okay, right.
So, and it just came off really nicely. Unfortunately, in 22, during the massive 115-degree heat spell, it didn't do so well. So we're trying to revive it, trying to get it back together, and hopefully we'll be able to get some more fruit off of it.
How close is it to the coast?
It's a few miles. I was surprised that the address was actually Cayucas. It must be right on the border there.
Look, like where Justin Smith is putting some of his new kind of North Coast stuff mm-hmm. off of Old Creek Road.
Yep. I mean, it's further west east than that. It's up in the hills and in a forest. We just released it this last weekend. We had a nice fun wine club pickup party out at Shale Oak.
Have you played with Pinot before?
Not in a long, long time. And I've been at Shale Oak since 2010 and have not worked with Pinot Noir in that time.
So who do you pick up the phone and call when you... I mean, because obviously Pinot is a very different grape.
There are quite a few people I called.
Tell me.
Between Tyler Russell.
Yeah.
He does a great Pinot. My Jason Joyce...
Sure, calcareous.
He does some from York Mountain area.
Oh, beautiful.
And I actually, one guy I relied on was one of my favorite barrel salesmen who sells a lot to Pinot guys, and I was kind of asked, like, I got a lot of info from him just
Ryan
because
Render.
He... No, someone else. But, yeah, just as far as how to, like, so how long do I age this for in these new barrels? How long would you... Just because that was the part I had the hardest time with was the aging of it, of how long should I bottle this after 6 months or 10 months, and we ended up going about 16 months on it, so... It did get some barrel age to it.
In new neutral?
It was 20% new French
cool.
oak. Yeah. And we released it this last weekend, and I kind of, not being too much of a Pinot guy, I kept going back to it and like just going, wow, I really like this.
Good.
I really like this. And it got a great response, and people enjoyed it. And Shale Oak is known for the Paso bigger red style. And so I think... It boded well with our clientele.
Yeah, so how do you... It's so interesting because here's a winemaker who, again, like you said, this is almost like Jimmy making a Rhone white.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like if it's not in your desirable wheelhouse
yet,
it's going to be something that your customers and fans of your wine are going to enjoy. And it's an opportunity to make something really fun and really exciting. Not only are you going to like pick up the phone and call all these people, ask some questions, but then feel your way through this. God, I can imagine it's a little bit nerve-wracking.
Oh, it was, especially with keeping it in the barrel. Because I did work for a fellow a while ago, and he was like, you bottle Pinot Noir as soon as possible. And so I had that in my head, and so I was like,
and then how do you
boy,
know what you're tasting when it's... when it's evolving in the cellar? How do you even know if what you're tasting is good or not if you've never done it?
It kept getting better. So that was the key. It didn't start getting worse at any point.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, it's still doing good, still doing good. Oh, I haven't checked it in a bit. Oh, okay, cool. It's still doing good. And so it, got to, after 16-ish months, like, okay, time to get this into a bottle.
Yeah, cool. So, well, congrats on the brand new Pinot Noir.
Yeah, thank you.
Jimmy, what do you think of the Pinot?
I like it. It's got, Pinot type flavors. It's hitting it's hitting the mark. Absolutely.
2021 Shale Oak Pinot Noir. And this is now available to friends of Shale Oak and fans of the wine?
Yep. Definitely.
Is this going to be a wine club wine, or is this going to be a wine everywhere?
We just released this to the wine club, so it'll be made available to everyone pretty soon here.
You know, when you roll back the curtains on something like this, and let's say someone's tasting in the tasting room today or this weekend, is like, hey, this is brand new, guys, and like we're kind of pouring it for a little bit of everyone just to give them a...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Right?
It's the elevated experience wine. So, you want to try something new? Here's this. And that always goes well in the tasting room. So.
When you have someone who's coming up to the tasting room and they're kind of learning why our brand is now doing a Pinot Noir, what is like that quick story that we tell to the customer?
Oh, the availability of this really unique vineyard. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in the hunt for Pinot Noir, but when I went to the vineyard, it was a fun drive out there. It was in a beautiful spot, and it was just one of those like good feelings of, oh, I like this area, I like it here, and hopefully we can make some good wine out of these grapes, and did well.
Are there any other like varietals that maybe you have not worked with before that you want to?
Yeah, like Cinsault and Cunoise would be good, because I would like to get to more of that middle palate range, because as my tastes are evolving, I feel like I love a good big red, but yes, I do also like something a little bit lighter in style too.
Cunoise is a fun one.
Yeah.
That'd be a really fun one.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy, what about you? Are there certain varietals that maybe you haven't had an opportunity to work with yet, want to, or even maybe Curtis, something that maybe you have the opportunity to, but you didn't want to?
Yeah, true, true. Gamay would be fun if it's on the coast.
Yeah.
Along with that, Greek white wines are really popular, and I'm really enjoying them, like a Certico.
Yeah.
I know Boots Ranch and Bootsack's family has Greek white wines planted out there on their property, which would be...
Molly Longborg gets Pinot from York Mountain and does a carbonic Pinot, which was really interesting, and it actually was really good. Have you ever thought of going carbonic with either this or anything else? Not a carbonic fan?
No, not really.
No?
Yeah.
What is it about the style that you're not into? As he's trying to be nice. He's like, how do I be nice now?
Sparkling.
Yeah. I mean, if Molly makes it, it's probably awesome.
Oh, it is. I mean, look, every wine is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, it's just not my favorite style.
Yeah.
I like the smooth roundness of red wines, and I don't feel like those really get there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, carbonics are kind of fun. I like them because you can have this red. It's lighter on its feet, maybe a little bit of a chill to it. And if you're talking beer, it's very sessionable. You just have a bunch of these glasses. They're nice.
Yeah.
So they're fun for some. Gail, let me ask you a question, because as we talk about being in business with your partner, one aspect of it is like you see your talents, your holes. You see his talents and his holes where you can fill. And that's part of a good relationship. It's also good for business. How do you identify those and talk to your partner, but as a business partner? Or is that line just always blurred and you're just always talking to him like your husband?
Well, I mean, there's some business. I think we're different in business. I think when you own your own business and you're an employee, it's a little bit different. So I'm always going business, and I get really emotional about things, and he's able to shut it off.
Yeah.
He's and able I'm to like, they didn't repost my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like crying about it, and they just didn't do it. It's okay. It doesn't mean you're not good.
Right.
So, as far as the relationship goes, we don't talk much about, I'm always talking about my business. He's not always talking about it.
Yeah. Do you ever ask for opinions on things?
Oh, yeah.
So give me your two cents on this.
All the time. Yeah,
and then
all the time.
Does he ever?
Because he's so chill, and he's just so rational.
That's why I love
and
him.
I'm just like, wah! And so he's okay. You need to just take a chill and just stop and think about it and not be so crazy about this. But I think that he brings the reality to it, and he gives me a perspective, a totally different perspective. I rely on him a lot, probably more than he wants to be involved. But
no, come on.
He's also my Amazon errand boy, so all my packages get delivered to Shale Oak, and so he's my olive deliverer. And yeah, he helps me a lot, but I don't know if I help him too much in his realm.
What makes you so chill?
I give him my opinions about his wine.
Yeah, whether he asks about it or not. Yeah. Well, how did you get so chill?
How did I get so chill?
Were your parents chill? My
parents are pretty chill.
The Grateful
but
Dead.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah, Grateful Dead, yeah.
Yes. Hanging out with people that listen to Fish and whatnot.
It's funny.
It's just, I don't know.
We were in San Francisco one time. We were in San Francisco one time, and I'm talking to the general manager of the – I'm interviewing the general manager of the hotel that we're at, and I get a phone call – or she does, I can't remember who, that our window in our room, and this is in Union Square, our window in our room has been removed. And Curtis and some other dudes were all hanging out in our room before we got down there. I'm like, why would – you can deduce why you would want to remove a window.
Yes, yes.
And it's not to do parkour or climb the window or climb outside. So I was like, oh, my God, the window is – and I think I literally called you. And I'm like, oh, it's all good, that guy. I just realized it. It was so funny when you talk about him being so chill. Like, I literally remembered that story and how everything was just like quickly – no, we're good. It's all good.
Like, yeah, he if you need somebody to kind of like, you know, just make everything all right, he's the guy. And yeah, I'm pretty lucky to, you know, have him in my life. So,
oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think that we balance each other out a lot. So,
it is a good balance.
And I tend to be like overwork myself a lot.
You're intense.
So, yeah, and I'm intense about it. So it's like he's always, you know, okay, you do need to eat. You do need to sleep. You do need to, you know.
Maybe
like,
listen to some more Grateful Dead.
Yeah. I know. Well, you know, I have my playlist in my, when I'm prepping, is either Tool or Fleet Foxes, and they're very different. And it's, you know, either I need to
get some cheese.
I need to cut that cheese.
You're listening to Tool.
I'm listening to Tool. Or I need to just bring it down a level.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm ending my day, so.
You gotta throw some more fish into her playlist, man.
I know.
She'd let me. She'd let me.
Have you ever gone to a fish show with him?
No.
Yeah.
No, not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen?
No.
Her mind would be too blown. It just wouldn't.
I hear they want to play that new Sphere.
Oh, I'm going.
Oh, they are doing it. It's uh-huh. Oh, you're going to go?
Yes.
The Fish fans are interesting because they will like, it's almost like a Dave Matthews Band fan. They will see him 3 days, wherever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
Shelly, let me ask you, as far as like just that dynamic and like working with Jimmy. Now, obviously, Gail's company, different than Shale's company, but they're married, so it's very much a thing, and the unity's there. You guys are literally in the same brand, in the same four walls for the whole day. So how does that work for you, and what are some of those dynamics that you guys experience?
We have kind of a similar story. I'm pretty intense, and he's super laid back. He mellows out our... whatever you call it.
Yeah.
So the thing is, though, yeah, we've been working together a long time. You just got to respect each other's departments. That's what I call it. I don't go in there and tell him how to make wine, and he'll come in and, you know, talk about stuff about marketing and stuff. I'm like, hey, I don't go in your cellar and tell you what kind of barrels to buy.
Yeah.
But also
the winemaker and your partner is probably wants a little bit of 2 cents on the marketing of the wine he's making.
Correct. So we do a lot of cross.
Yeah, you got it. Sure.
And we do. We are with each other every day, all day.
Yeah.
But we try to just have a good balance. I really try to bring him into what I'm doing and ask him questions and see how he would take on things. And we do the blendings together. We do all the bottlings together. You know, during harvest, I'm out there harvesting. I mean, we're kind of
Just like him, you're in the mix when it comes to production too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Your hands
I'm out
are
there
dirty.
Foot stomping if you need a foot stomper. I'm sorting fruit, you know, quality control. Or I'm feeding them.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's huge,
there's
too.
There's a job for everything. Or just cleaning the bathroom. You know,
whatever needs
to be done, we kind of just tackle together.
Yeah. What was the last thing that you guys argued about? Like, where someone had an opinion on this? Like, no, I just think we should do this. Or do you guys go back and forth on things? Or, Jimmy, can you remember one where it was just like, we just looked at this differently and we got to figure out how to dial it in?
They're so small and so insignificant that it comes and goes real quick.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, stick.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
What we're having for dinner is more of an argument.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
So, when it comes to wine and marketing, we're pretty close in ideals.
Yeah. What were we going to say, Shelly?
We have this thing that we do as a married couple, as business partners and everything, that if something's bothering you, we don't let it go past 24 hours. We will actually turn everything off, all electronics, everything, our kids at school, and we sit down and we hash it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, we hug it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just our thing that we do.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And it works out.
Yeah, no, totally. Because if you, just a relationship, husband and wife, a relationship in and of itself, there's going to be ebbs and flows and pushes and pulls. But to add in your, the dynamics and the roles that are expected of each of you in business, you certainly got to be mindful of those things. Gail, how do you approach things like that? Obviously, your business isn't so, I mean, your Alba is very much your business, mm-hmm. but of course you're partnered with him in this lifetime, and like you just noted, you lean on him for certain things. So how do you go as far as taking either criticisms or opinions of stuff that he's got going on, and then vice versa?
Oh, I welcome. I'm very welcoming to all opinions and all advice, because I like that outside perspective, and
yeah.
I feel he sees things that I don't, and if I'm set on something, I will 100% do it my way.
Yeah.
But I definitely welcome it. I welcome, when I started this business, I was like, I need a board of creative directors, and I need them to be my ex-boss, my husband, my best friends, and I pretty much rely on everybody for their opinions. And Paso is just such a small place, but it's growing so much, and I just want everybody to tell me what they've seen, what they've done, what they think I could do. And I am a creative person, but I'm not necessarily like one to sit there and be like, okay, at the beginning of the year, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not that ambitious. I wish that I was. I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the kitchen doing all the prep. I'm doing all the things. And I tried to be my accountant once, and I was like, when I started, I was like, this is not happening. So
yeah.
That's the one thing that I'm not ever going to do again. No. But
yeah, I'm literally learning that right now. Like, you got to find a person that can.
I like numbers, but not that much.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, yeah. It's not my thing, but you know.
I know what my strengths are.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know what their strengths are. So I hire someone that has that strength.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know if I mean, what do you think, Curtis? Do you think that I'm, no. This is a therapy session here.
Here's the couch. Jimmy and I'll go to the couch. Lay down, Gail.
I
feel like he can tell when I'm like not taking it, when I'm like, okay, your opinion matters, but right now it doesn't. So
yeah, being someone, you know, I also am blessed with a woman in my life who is intense and not, and I love. I mean, it's why we're with them for a lot of these pluses that brings, but. Someone who, and I have my own intensities, but I also am very, like Jimmy, like you, I feel like I can take in the room and chill and, you know, wait it out before I strike, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what are some things that, in dealing with someone who is in that way, that you go, okay, she knows I'm chill, I know that she's intense, and this is how we're going to compliment each other?
Well, I think it's just a natural compliment, because we, you know, like Paula Abdul said, you know, opposites attract. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where our opposites really come together, is balancing each other that way.
I know. He just quotes Paula Abdul like it's Socrates or some shit. It's like
two steps forward.
Two steps back. Every quote in his life is a musician.
I kind of feel like her with this head. You
know, I know, right? Yeah.
With the headset. I can get up and start doing some moves.
Dancing some choreography.
No, but
so good.
And I mean, she definitely gets intense, and I know when to step in, but I also know when to just say, okay, like, I need to be over here.
Yeah.
And we have our 4-year-old daughter who runs around and is crazy and awesome. And it's like, okay, Adley, you need to be away from mommy for a little bit. She needs to get through this, and we need to, you know, we need to go do our thing and let her do her thing, and then we'll come together in the end and be great.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I love this dynamic, and I think seeing people who are working together, working for one purpose, but also in love and working on this in this life together, mm-hmm. as a partnership, I think it's really, really exciting. I think of, I mentioned earlier in the beginning of this episode, Wine Persons of the Year, Alex and Monica Villacana. I think of like my old conversations with Jenny and Victor Abascal of like Vines on the Merry Crest, or you can go new school to Julie and Justin at, you know, Paso Wine Merchant. And it's really cool to see the dynamic of people who are in love and also sharing their talents to make what they do. And, you know, it's like, it's not just like two people working for a corporation or something. These are people who are in business with each other, for each other, and also making great wines and making great food provisions for people to enjoy.
I feel like that's one of our biggest attributes as a couple, is we love, first and foremost, we love each other, but then we love food and wine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just kind of ruled our lives. And we have done, so, I mean, we go on trips that are very food and wine centered and all the things. And we are living in the best place for food and wine. And when I, you know, when I started this path, I was already in the food industry and he was already a winemaker. So I think that brought us together a little bit, but then we really collaborated forces and we are, I mean, I feel like we're very in tune with what's going on in Paso with the food and wine industry. And I just like, it's like a no brainer for us. You know what I mean? We don't really have to think too much about it.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. Just, and it's super
coming,
fun.
It's coming naturally.
Yeah. And we're a big hit at parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are like, okay, we know what Gail's bringing. We know what Curtis is bringing. Yeah, right, yeah. We're set.
Get invited to all the shenanigans.
I mean, it would really shake them if we didn't bring that. So.
Yeah, right. And let's talk about, before we wrap up and we get into how we can taste both of your brands, just Curtis, the Paso now. It's freaking crazy.
Oh, it's insane.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's great. It's, I mean, growing and growing and growing. And, I mean, it was big when I started 20 plus years ago, and it just keeps growing and getting better and better.
And I love how, Gail, the personality, that charisma and the character hasn't changed. It's as we grow and as hotels get maybe harder to get into, and as we're taking what used to be celebratory weekends and turning them into celebratory months, and the restaurants, you got to have your reservation. As things are getting more and more popular from people outside coming in, this character and this personality is very much the same.
Yeah, and I feel if we can't get a reservation at a restaurant, we just had this the other night, we're like, let's just stop in at 5 o'clock, they open at 5, we'll get in, we'll get some food and have this nice dinner. No, does not happen for locals. Like, you cannot walk into a place, but you can also go into other places that, I mean, it's evolved. So, like, you know, you can come to this whatever winery and hang out at night. Like, Ella's is open till like 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. Like, just go there and hang out. Yeah. And it just has changed for locals a little bit.
Yeah,
but we live in the best place in the world because of the tourism and people coming in and enjoying what we love also. So we share that. We share that love of food and wine with the people that we're working with our customers. So it's just amazing.
And I think that people, Shelley, they'll come here and they will not only see and love the area, but they will also like, how do we move here? Like, they just love it. And it's the people. Like, the people make this area, and we've talked about it. How do you see that with the way things are still growing?
Oh gosh, you know, I love when they come in and they're like, this is my first tasting ever.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm your first. And for me, it's about making memories.
Yeah.
I am part of their memory, and they will always remember tasting with me. And I love that. And for me, it's just a big high. I also love to sell. That's part of me.
Yeah.
But I love to hear them come in and their first experiences or an area that they love. And I just like to get to know them. But yeah, people are just, they want to come here because it feels like family.
Yeah, I like that.
When you go to a different place, not to knock Napa or anything, but yeah, it's really formal up there. And so I'm hoping that Paso stays family, friendly, approachable. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. Jimmy, talk about your thoughts on the Paso explosion.
It's a double-edged sword. You got more people coming in, and it's a lot more traffic is getting bad, yo.
I know, yeah.
What is up with that?
We didn't have this before.
What? Yeah. Right? But we need people to work at the wineries and at the restaurants and at the hotels that are coming in. So it's, you know, it's a good and bad thing at the same time. But, you know, just... it's a part of a place being popular, and it's a good problem to have. So we all just need to be respectful of each other.
Yeah, yeah. Curtis, tell me how we taste at Shale Oak, my man.
You come to Shale Oak Winery at 3235 Oakdale Road. We're open Thursday through Monday, 10 to 5. We've got music starting up Memorial Day weekend every Saturday. And we do barrel tastings that you can sign up for on our website every Friday. And you can do a barrel tasting, add on a cheese plate from Alba Provisions, and make a wonderful experience of it.
All right, go to Wine Church. How do we follow you on Insta? At Shale Oak?
At Shale Oak Winery.
Sweet. Let's talk Alba. How do people get a hold of, obviously, if you're a winery listening to this, this is a great way to get some provisions in your tasting room. Mm-hmm. But if you are coming to visit, click, check out Alba.
Yeah, just go on my Instagram. I think that's the best way, at Alba Provisions and Flowers, spelled out. You can direct message me. You can call my cell phone. You can text me, whatever you want. Reach me whenever. But I am available in about 12 different wineries. And then also, if you want to get a platter or a special box or whatever, my commissary, I work out of Nature's Touch in Templeton. So you can come. I can leave something there for you to pick up. Or I can deliver. I deliver all the time.
I think it's great if you're doing a thing where you're getting a house with some people, you're coming here to get one of these.
Oh, yeah. That's where I want to be. I want to be in those VRBOs and those Airbnbs.
For real, yeah. Or if you're listening and you own one of these.
Yes.
This is a great added value. It's a great added value.
You can order direct and I can deliver. Yeah. I can deliver right before they check in, whatever.
And please tag her on Instagram. It'll help keep me chill. Yeah.
I'll just send you a message that's polite, and please tag me. That's all. I don't advertise. So it's just huge for me to get out there on social media. And I really put my heart and soul into all of my work. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful. It's very pleasing to the eyes and palate. And I just want everybody to see it. You don't even have to. I mean, I want you to buy something. I want you to see it. Yeah. I want you to like it.
I love that.
I'm a people pleaser.
Shelley, how do we taste Zanoli?
Oh, gosh. There's actually several ways. We just hosted an Airbnb here locally. So if you're coming to Paso Robles and say you have kids and you don't really want to get out, we'll come to your Airbnb. We'll pour our lineup. Yeah. Huh. And then we can actually deliver the wine back to your Airbnb, whatever you purchase, the next day. And then we can also do a cheese platter.
I've never heard of that before. That's so...
Yes. We've done actually quite a few of them.
Yes. So brilliant.
Yes. Good. Especially when you have such a big group and it's so hard to corral them all. Also, we are open every single day by appointment. We are open to the public Thursday through Sunday, 12 to 5.
For walk-in? That's walk-in? Okay.
Those are walk-ins. We also have barrel tastings that we do during harvest. We have the experience of art and science. Those are just limited months during harvest time. Yeah. And we're at Zanoli Wines on Instagram. So come visit us, and I'd love to meet some of you.
And stay tuned for possibly a workshop in the future.
Absolutely. I'm also thinking about doing some oysters and white wine coming up.
Yes.
A little get-together. So if you want to be on our mailing list, go to the website, and you can join our e-blast or just follow us on Instagram, because we have some amazing whites coming out. And we're on March 1st, everybody will know, but I'm telling you guys first. But we won Best White Wine of North County.
All right.
So we're really, really excited about this award. And we actually have a Chardonnay coming out late March, early April. So
when does the new rosé come out? Probably March, right?
Now.
Oh, no, it's out now.
Yes, it's out now. It's here on the tasting list.
What is the white wine that won?
Actually, all of them.
Oh.
We won Best White Wine of North
Carolina. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yes.
Holy.
Nice. Yes, I know.
Good for you.
Congratulations.
Cool for you.
So, telling you guys first.
All right.
Not supposed to, but
well,
I am.
Well, thank you for sure. Look, I mean, I know that you come into an interview where you're going to be talking about your brands, your wine. It's very, it's business, it's marketing. But here we're talking about our lives and, our relationships and the dynamics. What a fun conversation. I hope you guys all enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Super fun.
So
super
much fun. Love you guys. Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers
for sharing where wine takes you.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah. So give me that moonshine, we'll be fine. We pass on out till the job is done. Can't die in the trees, we'll simplify good company. Thanks so much to both those couples for letting me crash their double date again. Gail and Curtis Haskell of Alba Provisions and Shale Oak, and Shelley and Jimmy Zanoli of Zanoli Wines. Check out all three of those brands, and when you do, let them know you heard them on Where Wine Takes You. Okay, so for our Travel Paso Spotlight, I just love that Paso does stuff like this. We're talking about Paso Robles Art in the Park. It's April 12th and 13th, so just a few weeks away. Let's bring on the director, Steve Powers, to give us the 411. Steve, thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Adam. And it's been a beautiful morning.
This is an area, the Central Coast, that really appreciates fine art, original art. And what you are doing with Art in the Park is certainly exceptional. And this area Paso, the Central Coast, loves great art.
Oh, definitely. We've been really well received since we started Paso Robles Art in the Park in April of 2018. That was our first event, and we had a great crowd show up. I'd say 6,000-7,000 people over the 2 days, and the artists did really well.
Talk about what Art in the Park actually is. We take 2 days. Of course, downtown City Park, the square, as it's sometimes referred to, it's transformed. And it's beautiful already with the lights and the trees and the, you know, the library right there. But what you guys do even more beautifies it with all this art all over the place for 2 days.
Yeah, we take pride in what the show looks like to the public. And so we utilize the east side of the park, which is about 2.5 acres. And we put the show all over the area of the park, on the grass and everywhere. So it's almost like a village of itself. There's about 140 artists from 5 different states in the West that come to this event. And it covers the entire east side of the park. And it's just a beautiful location, great restaurants surround it. It's always just a wonderful weekend.
Now, these are original artists with their work. And one, if you just like to peruse art and want to, you know, stroll around the park, great, go ahead. But if you want to enhance your own collection, this is also a great time to do that as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have some really great artists who come several hundred miles for this event. A lot of them do the upper shows down in Beverly Hills or in the Palm Springs area, up in the Bay Area. And so there are collectible artists at the show with large pieces, small pieces, whatever you're looking for, sculpture. It's a collectible type show.
What type of info do people need to know to get involved? You sell tickets or what?
No, it's free to the public as far as to come and attend. Our next show coming up is April 13 and 14, Saturday and Sunday in downtown City Park. And our website is pasorobosartinthepark.com. So you can always get information there as far as dates in the future. Like I said, it's free to the public. As far as exhibitors go, they can also go to that website and get information for exhibiting in the future.
Is it still time to exhibit for April, or are we kind of looking at our fall show now for exhibitors?
Yeah, we're looking at our fall show, November 2 and 3. The April show has been full for several weeks now, because we have a lot of interest from people who live in the county as far as artists who live locally. And then, like I said, about 50% of the show is from out of town, quite a ways out of town, actually. So, yeah.
Where's your farthest person coming from?
Oh, I think I've got somebody coming from Portland, Oregon, and a couple of people from New Mexico, and a few from Colorado. So, they're trucking.
It's exciting. April 13th and 14th. We do this twice a year. We got Steve Powers. Yes. He's the producer and director for Art in the Park. Again, April 12th, 13th, you can go to pasorobosartinthepark.com for more. And if you are an artist, or maybe know someone who is, and think this would be something perfect for them for our November show, November 2nd and 3rd. Again, get to the website, pasorobosartinthepark.com. Tickets completely free. What a beautiful way to spend some of your weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, at downtown City Park, Paso, with Art in the Park. We got Steve Powers here, man. Thank you so much for enlightening us and sharing where wine takes you, my man. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks to Steve. Also, thanks to Travel Paso, a must stop. Before your next trip, go to TravelPaso.com. Also, follow them on Insta at TravelPaso. All right, what a show. So don't forget, PasoWine.com for any and all things Wine Fest. And of course, CorkandCruise.com for any and all things France Fest. Paso Wine is going to France, and I want you with us. Check out CorkandCruise.com, and if you get in, use that promo code, PasoWine, and we got an impossible to get your hands on Magnum, his brand new Cabernet Sauvignon of Turtle Rock, signed. It's coming your way. A little teaser to what we're going to be drinking on the boat on the Ama Cristina when we head down the Rhone. That is early August, so get on it. CorkandCruise.com. All right, Where Wine Takes You is executive produced by Joel Peterson and Paso Wine. Associate producer is Krista Smith. The podcast is recorded, edited, and produced by yours truly. Technical consideration, thanks to Fly With Wine, and original music on the show, Moonshiner Collective with Good Company. Stream them wherever you get your music and learn more, moonshinercollective.com. Been getting some great feedback at adamontiel.com, some great ideas too for some show ideas, so keep them coming, adamontiel.com. You can click that connect tab and open up the combo. I appreciate you a lot for connecting with us here. My name is Adam Montiel. Till next time, if you have a sweetheart, get on that double date action. You know, open a bottle or three of some Paso wine and cheers to The laughs, the stories, the memories that are made when you share where wine takes you.
Give me that old town we buy. We pass all round to the job. We'll jump camped out in the G's. We'll simplify the company. Give me that old town we buy. We pass all round to the job. We'll jump camped out in the G's. We'll simplify the company. That old town will get by. We pass all round to the job. It's dry. Camped out in the trees. We'll simplify good company. Give me that old town will get by. We pass all round to the job. It's dry. Camped out in the trees. We'll simplify good company.